From Wisconsin Public Radio, it's Newsmakers. I'm Ezra Wall in La Crosse. We're on the campus of UW-La Crosse today in our Southwest Wisconsin studios, and I'm thrilled to be joined by Alexander Platt, who's the music director, the longtime conductor now of the La Crosse Symphony Orchestra, and that organization is celebrating its 125th anniversary, bringing just fantastic music to the Cooley region and beyond. And we're talking about that with Alexander today. Thank you very much for joining us.
Ezra, it's great to be back. It really is. It's been such a long hiatus with the COVID stuff and yes. all that. And finally to be back in the studio in person, chatting with you about our glorious La Crosse Symphony in truly my this beloved community of La Crosse. It's great to be back with you.
125 years. How many of those years have you been at the helm now?
Only 124. Okay. Yeah, I look great.
Yeah. You're a relative newcomer.
I've been here for, you know, it's kind of like they're like human years and dog years, you know, like in a,
yeah.
We've just been like together now about a dozen years, and it's just been getting better and better and better. It's truly been, I would say, the great journey of my career. It's just, this was a job. I started my professional career in Minneapolis, St. Paul. I always dreamt about having this job. I waited, and I was gifted the position in 2010, and a time of great challenge for the arts economically. And ever since then, we've been building and building and building, whether it's our terrific staff, Eva Marie Restel, and our wonderful staff, our wonderful donor community, and our board of directors, and most of all, this amazing family of musicians, this beautiful family of musicians we have been growing these dozen years. And we ended last season in very fine style with a full house for our spring concert, and we've got like our biggest season ever now. We started, of course, in August with Moon Tunes along the riverfront, which I know some people don't believe it because they think, because I'm from Connecticut, I'm therefore a snob, but I really had a great time. I had a great time doing all that classic rock with the executives. And then this weekend, tomorrow and Sunday afternoon, we're going to be another new venture at the Capella Center, and we're going to be having a pair of gorgeous concerts of Baroque music, mainly Johann Sebastian Bach. So with Oktoberfest coming up, just think of it as your Bachtoberfest.
Bachtoberfest.
Your Bachtoberfest.
That's great.
Yeah, and it's going to be beautiful and celebrate several of our great principal first chair players in the LSO, giving them a chance to shine in some of these beautiful little gem-like Baroque concertos of J.S. Bach and contemporaries, and it's going to be great. And it's a new kind of informal setting where there's like cabaret-style seating, little tables, and, you know, wine and beer and cheese and hors d'oeuvres and people. It's an atmosphere that J.S. Bach himself would have appreciated.
Yeah, and it's a great atmosphere at Capella, and that room is just wonderful to listen to chamber music in. But I love in a previous conversation that I had with Matt, I just got really excited when he started talking about his vision of let regular people come to the classical music performances,
yeah.
and show them that this music is accessible to everyone.
Yeah, no, and it always has been. I mean, look, I'm to be serious, you know, I'm just a Connecticut Yankee. I'm just a guy who, you know, wears old clothes and drives secondhand cars. And I just grew up in, like La Crosse, I grew up in a beautiful community that had a great support system for the arts, great music programs in the schools and then the churches. And
yeah.
I grew up in that kind of garden, and music is, you know, my life. And as everyone knows, I drive my little SUV all over the country and just doing these several positions. But I'm also happy to say I'm going to be moving to Madison this year. So
okay.
I'll be equidistant between my two great loves, my two great Wisconsin orchestras in Waukesha and La Crosse. And that's going to make everything a lot easier. But, you know, classical music is just, it's always something for, you know, I'm from regular people, and it's something we do to almost find an escape from the daily problems of our lives. And music, of all the arts, you know, classical music just offers that escape and that inspiration and consolation that just we seem to need more than ever. And I think that's why the community has been so supportive of the way the orchestra, the way this orchestra has grown. But, you know, Ezra, as you know, not just the orchestra, but the way that the arts have grown in La Crosse. I mean, since I arrived in 2010, just as I was arriving, the finishing touches were put on the Weber Center.
Yeah.
And now we've got Matt Curtis and you know, him do, you know, building the Capella Center, and the, you know, the LSO just goes from strength to strength at our main stage home at Viterbo, and it's just, it's so exciting, and I'm just, this is, it really is, this job for me is the dream come true.
When I was growing up in La Crosse, people always used to say artistically La Crosse is a city that feels a lot bigger than it is, because there's so much going on in not just in music, but in the other performing arts and in visual art and everything.
It's true. I know. And I had my apprenticeship, as you know, in the Twin Cities in the late 80s, early 90s. And I get a similar kind of feeling, a wonderful idealistic feeling about the arts and the difference that they can make in a community. And that's palpably true. It just does. They make this a better place to live.
So when we're looking ahead to this 125th season, I know a lot of thought and planning goes into every season that the symphony puts out. But what extra sort of something, what extra sort of je ne sais quoi goes into establishing the 125th season?
It's always like, it's the oldest, you know, line in the world to say, every concert is an event.
Yeah, right.
Hardly an original phrase, but this year, truly every concert is a unique and celebratory event. And we're starting again through the largesse of Mr. Matthew Curtis. We're having this pair of chamber orchestra programs at Capella. Again, this weekend we have our Bachtoberfest. I just came up with that. Well, actually, Matt Curtis came up with it, so it's I cannot lie. And then we're gonna, the other bookend of the season will be in early June, where we'll be back at Capella with not just the Vivaldi Four Seasons, but the Astor Piazzolla Tango renditions of the Four Seasons, the Four Seasons in Buenos Aires, with another of our star principal players, our assistant concertmaster, Aaron Schwartz, as the soloist. In between, oh my goodness, October 21st, of course, we start our season at Viterbo with, instead of bringing in kind of, as we often do, an international soloist from, you know, New York or Europe or, you know, Philadelphia, Boston, and where, what have you. The first half is going to celebrate our own. Four of our great principal players, our principal oboe, Mary Beth Hensel, our principal and associate principal flutes, Alia Anif and Jonathan Borja, and our principal percussionist, Matthew Coley, in a garland of American concertos, like short, kind of eccentric, brilliant, wonderful, quirky pieces. And then the second half of the program is going to be really like the kind of Russian late Romantic concerto for orchestra, a piece we haven't yet gotten to all these years, Rimsky-Korsakov's Scheherazade.
Oh, wow.
And that's going to be absolutely just blow the roof off. That's just one of the great top 10 works, and it's also, it has a famous kind of solo role for the concertmaster, which Aaron Schwartz will be filling that week. Then November 11th, for obvious reasons, our American-themed program this year it literally falls on Veterans Day. We're celebrating that incredible group of artists known today as like the Hollywood diaspora, all these European emigre artists, writers, actors, musicians who came to America in the 1930s, escaping fascism, and settled, many of them settled in Hollywood, working in that incredible cultural ecosystem. So we're going to have an international star violinist, Alexei Kenny, truly like a young movie star of an international world-class violin soloist. He's recently performed with the Pittsburgh Symphony, with the Cleveland Orchestra, and he's going to perform with us in La Crosse, the violin concerto of Igor Stravinsky, you know, who wrote The Firebird, and again, ended up in Los Angeles by the late 30s. We're going to do Eric Wolfgang Korngold's music for the Errol Flynn movie Robin Hood, and then we're going to end with one of the great, magnificent symphonies of Sergei Rachmaninoff. And we recently, a few years ago, did the Rachmaninoff Second Symphony. This time we're going to do the Rachmaninoff Third, the equally beautiful. So it's going to be a gorgeous, patriotic and romantic evening, celebrating America and the best of America. And then our December concert, our holiday concert, this, talk about an event, we are going to have in celebration of our 125th anniversary on December 16th, we're going to have a Viterbo Lacrosse Festival chorus of 125 singers on stage, all directed by Viterbo's excellent choral director and our assistant conductor, Dr. James Wilson, in one of the great late romantic era chestnuts, the Saint Cecilia Mass by Charles Gounod, that great late romantic French composer. It's like 42 minutes of perfume.
Yeah,
42 minutes of Chanel No. 5 in music. It's absolutely gorgeous, gorgeous. We have a trio of soloists, one of the great young singers from the Lyric Opera of Chicago, as well as our own Matthew Curtis as the tenor soloist. And the first half will be a wonderful kind of Boston pop style kind of montage of holiday favorites, both sacred and secular, and that's just going to be the ultimate holiday event. I mean, 125 souls on stage.
Yeah, I was telling you before we started that I'm in one of the choirs that's going to be on that, and we just cracked open that Gounod score last night at rehearsal for the first time, and nobody wanted to put it down. It was wonderful.
People, it used to be really famous, now not so much, but when you get back into it, you don't want to stop hearing it or singing it. It's just so gorgeous. So that's going to be December. And then we take our winter hiatus as usual and get ready for our Rising Stars event, which is, as usual, the first weekend in March, March 3rd.
A remarkable event because, like, you're taking people from our town who study music with our music teachers, and you're demonstrating in real time in front of the entire community that our folks can achieve great things in classical music when they're dedicated to it.
Well, it's true. I mean, look at someone like Matt Curtis. I mean, he spent 12 years in Chanticleer, the most famous vocal ensemble in the world, really. And yes, it can happen and happens all the time. And so we'll have three brilliant young finalists in the young artists of pianists and instrumentalists. And then the second half is going to be devoted to another one of these great top 10 works by, in some ways, the ultimate kind of boy genius who never grew old. He didn't get to grow old, of course, Mozart.
Yeah.
We're going to do Mozart's very last symphony, in the opinion of many, his greatest, the Symphony number 41, the so-called Jupiter Symphony. So that's going to be just a phenomenal evening celebrating young artistry. And then May the 4th is our final main stage show at Viterbo. And that is going to be another kind of world-class symphonic evening where literally it's like you're going to go hear the Milwaukee Symphony or the Minnesota Orchestra, except you don't have to leave La Crosse. We're going to have, in celebration of our amazing community, something else that just gets better and better, you know, the LSO Conductor Wannabes competition. I mean, it just raises more and more money every year. And everyone thought, well, with COVID, it'll never come back, you know, remote work and all. Oh, this is, and we raised even more money last year. It's amazing. So we'll celebrate our two winning Conductor Wannabes. And then we're going to have another truly international, world-class soloist, this great young Russian emigre pianist, Andrei Gugnin, who got out of Russia and for obvious reasons and didn't want to be part of that. He's now in Canada, and he's touring all over the world, winner of major competitions, brilliant, dashing young man who is going to play the greatest Grieg piano concerto. Again, one of those top 10 works, the Edvard Grieg, great Norwegian composer, the Grieg piano concerto you could ever hope to hear. It's going to be a great end to the main stage series. And then we have as our coda, as our bookend, we go back to Capella for our pair of the, not four seasons, but the eight seasons in Venice and Buenos Aires with our internationally handsome assistant concertmaster, Mr. Aaron Schwartz. So truly, we can't top this, folks.
So I want to talk about featuring so many of the La Crosse area's excellent musicians, because mm-hmm. and I'm as guilty of this as everybody. I see somebody from sort of, as you mentioned, the international roster, mm-hmm. you know, people based in huge cities all over the world.
Truly.
And they're coming to La Crosse, yeah. and it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. But how do you decide when to set that aside for a moment and say, we have talent here in our town that right. we're going to feature that is not just good enough, but is mm-hmm. exactly on par with mm-hmm. with all of those people?
Well, Ezra, that's one of the most wonderful problems I get to have as music director. It's a wonderful problem to have because we have a board and a donor community that will support us to, say, three times a year, bring in international talent to show La Crosse that we are this great cultural center and that you can literally have a night out in La Crosse, which is just as good as, again, if you went to Orchestra Hall Chicago. It's just as good. On the other hand, because we are such a great community, I also get to celebrate great musicians who live in La Crosse, who live in this Cooley region, and who have grown up here and who make their livelihoods here. And we have this you know, this greater Driftless region, if you will, if you kind of drew a line on a map from La Crosse over to Madison, over to northeastern Iowa, maybe Rochester, Minnesota, Winona on the way. You've got an amazing group of players, an amazing group of musicians. It's a very special place, and there's a very special ethos that's here that people just want to be part of.
When did you start studying music? Small child or
yeah,
later?
I was
or?
A chorister in my church. I was a boy chorister, and I'm somewhat talented, not like Matt Curtis talented, but pretty talented. I mean, I went up the ladder, and I got eventually to Cambridge because of that, in part. That's another story. But it was just that solemnity and that special quality. I was singing in midnight mass on Christmas Eve, and I was like 8 years old, and I somehow had this realization that this was something extraordinary, and I wanted to be part of it. And then I was a violinist, a kind of struggling violinist, and then another miracle happened, which was, and this used to happen a lot. It doesn't happen anymore, but it used to happen back then where we were all violinists, but nobody wanted to play the viola. Now, I think everyone knows the viola is the alto, the big brother of the violin. It's yeah. a little larger, plays a lower register. It's a little more difficult to play because it's just bigger and you have to hold it on your shoulder like a violin. And so nobody, and you never get the solo part. So nobody wants to play the viola. So I was like 12 years old. Did someone want to play viola? I'm like, I always had a yen for the obscure. And I thought, sure, I'll play the viola. And it just, again, this light went on. And yeah. I was like 12 years old. And all of a sudden, I was staying up all night practicing 3 hours a night and then doing my algebra and getting 90 minutes of sleep and then going to school. I mean, when I go into schools and work with these kids and they're bleary-eyed and they're juggling all these activities and I know exactly what they're going through.
Yeah.
So then it just, music just became like a religion. It just became everything to me.
And when,
I eventually just realized that the best thing I could do was to be a conductor.
Well, that's what I was going to ask about that you talked about sort of an aha moment. As a chorister singing in midnight mass,
yeah. yeah.
When was it that you realized, you know, sitting and playing among all of these sort of colleagues, mm-hmm. Thinking I could lead an organization like this?
Well, I had a really interesting. I've never been asked that question, and I had a really interesting experience. I was a good enough viola player through, I don't know, some talent, but a lot of hard work, a lot of all-night practices. I got to Tanglewood, which I think most people have heard of. It's the summer home of the Boston Symphony Orchestra. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like the great shrine, the summer shrine of classical music in America. And I was a good, hardworking viola player. And they placed me at the front of the section. I was principal viola for most of the summer. And it's like it's a 10-week summer session. And I couldn't figure this out because I had, like, seated right next to me, seated behind me, I had these players who could just, I mean, wipe the floor with me. I mean, just we're way more talented. And I finally, at the end of the summer, I went up to the formidable maestro who just retired from directing the orchestras at Northwestern University, Victor Yampolsky. I said, this truly formidable man. I said, maestro, I'm clearly not the best player. Why did you make me principal viola for most of the season? To which he instantly responded, well, you weren't the best player, but we knew that you were the best leader. And I was like 17.
Wow.
And that's when I thought, well, I meant to be a conductor.
And the symphony now, the symphony is I think this might be the first year trying to bring along sort of the next generation through its own fellowship program.
Yes, we have a wonderful gifted young man who is a Midwesterner, but now doing his postgraduate studies at the San Francisco Conservatory. His name is Adrian Jackson, and he is a very, very gifted young African-American viola player, much better than I was. And this is like why when we had you know, auditions, finals, people submitted tapes and all that. And I just knew I wanted him to be the fellow because he could play the Brahms E-flat viola sonata way better than I ever could when I was his age. I thought, okay, he's the one. And he's just this terrific, genial young man who is coming into La Crosse this week. And he, for the next 2 years, is thanks to the courtesy of the generosity of the folks at Gunderson Health, he's going to be a member of our family for these next 2 years. And we're looking forward to meeting him and welcoming him, and everything he has said and written has just been really very moving. I mean, he's just goes on about how fortunate he feels to be a classical musician, and it's just really very touching. I mean, the way I just was reading some of the things he wrote, and I thought, gosh, if only I'd been that way when I was his age. I mean, and so that's going to be a wonderful 2 years together, and will hopefully, you know, give him the foundations of a professional career.
That sounds great. So much going on this year at the La Crosse Symphony Orchestra as that organization celebrates its 125th anniversary. If people are going back to the immediate opportunity of this weekend's concerts, Saturday and Sunday at the Capella Performing Arts Center, Saturday at 7:30, Sunday at 3:30, where can people find more information about not just those concerts, but the entire season?
Well, it's lacrossesymphony.org and capellaperformingarts.org, and it's okay. All there. And we have an excellent website, and it's all there for that. And, of course, you can always call the symphony, 608-783-2121. Our wonderful staff is there to help you. And or you could just like to show up at Capella on Saturday and say, get me a beer, and where's my seat?
Maestro Alexander Platt, thank you very much.
My pleasure.
This is Newsmakers on Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Ezra Wall. If you want to hear our conversation again, or hear our conversation from earlier in the show on a completely different subject, the proposed utility rate hikes that are being considered by the Public Service Commission, you can find that and all of our other shows on our website, which is WPR.org/newsmakers. That's WPR.org/newsmakers. You can catch our program Friday morning at 10 on the Ideas Network 90.3, Friday night at 7 on NPR News and Music 88.9, and of course always online at WPR.org/newsmakers. Join us next time for another Newsmakers right here on Wisconsin Public Radio.